A very warm welcome to the FactSet Insight podcast with John Butters. I'm Guy Adami. You see Dan Nathan, the man that needs no introduction, of course, is the great John Butters of FactSet fame. John Butters, how are you?
Doing well, doing well. And I can't thank you guys enough again for hosting the podcast this time around. I can't believe another earnings season is upon us already. It good seems well, to go
and we're almost through it. And you know, before we get into it with you, you know, Dan and I have looked at it and what we've surmised, Dan, and I know you can wax a little bit poetic. First of all, it's great to be here with you. Second of all, what appears to be happening is companies that are doing well are being rewarded, but not nearly to the degree, Dan, that companies that are in line or slightly worse are being punished. So thoughts on that, Dan Nathan?
Yeah. And you know, just again, you know, John's work on the Earnings Insight blog, we've been tracking it for many, many years. You guys have been great partners of ours for the last 5 years. And I always think about it as a bit of a guidepost as we're kind of working ourselves into the quarterly reports. And you are tracking a lot of this. We're going to hit some of this too over the course of the quarter and what expectations are into the prints. And then you, obviously you take a macro view about it too. And I'm with Guy there, you know, because the stock market had such a violent rally into Q2 earnings. And when you think about when we were in the throes of Q1 earnings, we were in the throes of probably the most volatile short-term period that many of us could remember. And in your work, John, you've been talking about the fact that when expectations or guidance was given, if it was given back in April into early May, it was pretty soft for the most part. There was no reason, if you were a C-level executive, to put your neck out there, you know, that sort of thing. So talk to us a little bit, because you've been tracking this. Over the course of Q2, we did see estimates come down by the street for the broader index. And, you know, where are we right now? So give us a sense of like where we were at the start of Q2, where we ended up, and then what is, for the most part, what are the actuals that we've seen on the way out of Q2 earnings?
Yep. So let's set the stage. You know, coming into the start of the quarter back on March 31st, the expectation was for about 9.4% growth. And then during the course of the quarter, analysts did take their estimates down a little bit larger than average. They certainly weren't dramatic cuts, but they definitely were larger than average. And as a result, by the end of the quarter, that expected growth rate was down to 4.9%. And with this earnings season, you know, not surprising, we've seen a large number of companies beat the estimates. They've beaten by significant margins. And as a result, we've seen that growth rate actually jump up to 10.3%, which is even above the expectation coming into the quarter. So if we look at the actual numbers, 82% of companies have beaten the estimates so far. That's above the five-year average of 78%, above the 10-year average of 75%. That'll actually, if that's the final number, that'll be the largest number going back about 4 years. In aggregate, the companies are beating estimates by about 8%, which again is above the 10-year average of 6.9%. So again, when we look at it on a broad level, you know, more companies beating, again, beating lowered estimates, but more companies beating, being by a larger margin than average. I know we'll delve a little bit more into the sector and company level data a little bit, you know, later in the podcast, but broadly speaking, a pretty strong performance so far.
Yeah. So I look at this and in a vacuum, I'd be like, wow, look at the reacceleration of earnings growth. I mean, that's great. That speaks to exactly what a lot of people have been thinking, you know, sort of a trough, and then it's going to start to inflect again. And that's one of the reasons why the market deserves a multiple. But as you mentioned, you know, there's going to be a couple slides from now where, you know, maybe this, although the numbers are what they are, maybe again, it's being skewed by a couple different names. So we'll get into that. But on the surface, this looks great. Now let's break it down by sector, because the next slide speaks to exactly that. And once again, and now we've been with you for years now, it is remarkable how energy continues to bring up the rear. But walk us through this one, John.
Sure. So speaking of energy, you know, Spectre reporting the largest overall decline at 20%. And I know back on Market Call a few weeks ago, Guy, you had asked me about this, about, you know, have we seen this level of underperformance in a sector over such a long stretch of time? And I kind of went back and looked at the numbers, and surprisingly so, over the last 10 years, we have actually seen these 7 to 8 quarter stretches where earnings for the energy sector have been down year over year. So if we go back to 2015 into 2016, we saw 8 quarters of declines. And then coming into the pandemic, 2019, 2020, we also saw 8 straight quarters of declines as well. Now, obviously, you know, energy earnings are highly correlated with oil prices. We saw oil prices come down in both of those stretches as well. So right now, this would be the 8th quarter out of 9 that we've seen earnings down for the energy sector. A few quarters back, we eked out about 1% growth. But there is an expectation in Q4 for growth to return. So we'll see if that happens. But to your point, energy for the last several quarters has been one of the underperformers in terms of earnings growth. And if we look at the, you know, the positive side of the scale, again, the top two sectors have been sectors we've been talking about again for quite a few quarters as well. Communication services at the top, reporting 41% growth. Now, it is interesting with comm services, you know, usually it's Alphabet and Facebook, you know, Meta Platforms and Alphabet that are at the top of that. This time around, it's actually Warner Brothers Discovery that's driving growth. And part of that is a little bit of a quirk in the numbers. So for most of these companies, we use non-GAAP earnings. For Warner Brothers Discovery, we use GAAP. They had a huge loss in the year-ago quarter, so they're benefiting from an easy comparison. If we took them out, that 41% growth drops down to 17%. And then information technology, 21% growth there. Very broad-based growth. All six industries in that sector are reporting 10% growth or better, led by the semiconductors at 33%. So, you know, again, similar trends we've seen the last few quarters with, you know, communication services and tech leading the way, and then energy as the main laggard.
Yeah. And so, John, you know, we've read, again, we read you all week long. And, you know, some of the data that we pull out, we love seeing what the 5-year, 10-year average is. It just kind of gives us a sense of, you know, over a couple different market sort of environments, you know, how it smooths out, I guess, is one way to think about it. But this left-hand side of this bar chart has been very consistent over the last few years. You know, we've also seen some data that suggests is like a disproportionate amount of the earnings growth year over year comes from, you know, technology in general, however you want to kind of label those two groups. So let's talk a little bit about the Mag 7, because, you know, some of the increases that we've seen year over year in growth, I think some of the most optimistic people a year ago in the markets didn't expect to see this sort of acceleration, especially mid-2024, when we saw a slight deceleration in earnings growth from some of the Mag 7.
Yeah. So once again, you know, coming into this earnings season, the Magnificent Seven overall were expected to do about 14% growth. The other 493 looking at 2.5% growth. And very similar to last quarter, these were sort of the expectations we had last quarter as well. A number of the Magnificent Seven companies reported, you know, upside surprises. And as of today, you're looking at 26% growth for those companies versus about 6% for the other 493. So a couple takeaways from that. So one, at this point in time, you know, to your point, Dan, five of the top 10 contributors to earnings growth for Q2 are now those Magnificent Seven companies. So you've got NVIDIA, Amazon, Meta Platforms, Microsoft, and Alphabet are now all in the top five of the top 10 contributors overall. But what is interesting as well, and I know you guys know this, within the Magnificent Seven itself, there's certainly varying levels of growth, right? So if you look at the very top of it, companies like NVIDIA, Amazon, Meta Platforms all did 35% growth plus or better, or NVIDIA's expected that, obviously they haven't reported yet. You know, your next tier, you've got your Alphabet and Microsoft at about 20-25% growth. And then towards the other end, Apple about 12%, and Tesla reported a year-over-year decline. So, you know, we do lump these companies together as a group, but there's definitely varying growth rates within the Magnificent Seven. And I know, Dan, you're a fan of the Fateful Eight. If we included Broadcom in there, there would be 6 out of 10. They're also expected to be a top 10 contributor this quarter as well. And so just one final point on the Magnificent Seven, and you guys alluded to this earlier, you know, each quarter, the expectation is if you look out that, you know, their growth rate's going to start to come down. The other 493 are going to come up. And once again, this quarter, we've seen a large divergence between those companies. So on a very gradual basis, we have seen those growth rates start to come down, right? If you go back 3 or 4 quarters ago, those companies were doing 30-35% growth. We're now down in that 25-30 range. So there is an expectation those growth rates will merge. At this point, it looks like it's first quarter of 2026. But each quarter we say that, and then we see this divergence in performance again. So we'll obviously have to wait to see how that plays out over the next couple of quarters.
Yeah, and this just speaks to, you know, the theme that's been going on for a while. As much as people want to say things are broadening out on the earnings front, it's really not. I mean, your work suggests exactly what we've been seeing now for the last couple of years. I mean, it's the same 8, 10, 11 names that are driving pretty much everything, whether it's market performance, revenue performance, EPS performance, depending on what metric you look at. And I will tell you, I mean, at least in my history, I'm sure there's some corollaries, but for this prolonged period of time to see names of that size and magnitude continue to sort of drive the bus. I really don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. And I'm not asking you to opine, but you know, it's something that I struggle with. The other thing that I think people are struggling with is the next slide, and that speaks to tariffs. And what's interesting is fewer and fewer companies in the S&P are talking about tariffs. Maybe there's just an exhaustion around it. I'm not sure, but speak to what you're seeing here.
Yeah, and we highlighted this last quarter when we did this podcast talking about, you know, at that time we saw huge increases, obviously, in companies talking about tariffs in Q1 versus Q4, same with uncertainty and same with recession as well. And those numbers have flipped to different degrees this quarter, right? So in terms of tariffs, last quarter, 91% of companies mentioned tariffs on their earnings calls. That's down to 74%. Now, 74 is still a high number, but just want to point out that's a drop off from what we saw last quarter at 91%. Same with the term uncertainty, right? Last quarter was 84%. This time around, it's 64% of companies talking about it. And then the big one is really recession. Last quarter, 1 in 4 S&P 500 companies talked about recession on earnings calls, 25%. That's down to 3% today. So, you know, again, not to say the companies aren't talking about that. Again, for tariffs and uncertainty, those are still relatively high numbers, but they are a decrease from what we saw last quarter. And I also threw inflation in there. You know, we've seen quite a few companies during this earnings season talking about raising prices or concerns about cost. But even at inflation, you know, 41% have talked about this time around versus 47% last time around. And what's interesting with that as well, if we look at profit margins, overall, the S&P 500 is reporting a 12.7% profit margin this quarter. That's actually in line with the last quarter, above the year ago of 12.2% and above the five-year average, 11.8%. So despite some of these issues with tariffs and the higher costs, companies, at least for now, are maintaining their profit margins. And those profit margins are expected to stay at about 12.7, 12.8 over the next couple of quarters.
All right, John, we got to talk about expectations going forward. I know that we're in the back half of the year. I have a calendar. I can figure all that stuff out. But as we kind of approach 2026, a lot of strategists are going to be kind of rejiggering some of their expectations going forward. And a lot of stuff that we just talked about are going to be sort of major inputs. This comes at a time where even, and you're going to run us through what expectations are now as we get into the back half of the year into early 2026. Just the valuation, you know, the S&P, and I think this was in your blog last week, trading at about 22 times forward, which is above the five-year average of about 20 and the 10-year average of about 18 and a half. And, you know, we haven't spent a lot of time talking about interest rates. We've seen the 10-year, you know, come in from 4.8%, I want to say 9 months ago, to 4.2% where it is right here. We've seen a dollar that's declined. I mean, I think both of those things should aid, you know, that S&P earnings number and then thus the multiple too. So talk to us a little bit about where we're going in the next few quarters and how that might affect valuations.
Kind of two key takeaways when we talk about the expectations going forward, right? So if we look at the second half of the year, you know, we are seeing 10% growth this quarter. That's expected to dip down to the 7% range in both Q3 and Q4. But what's interesting is that those numbers have actually come up slightly since the start of earnings season, and that's a rarity. So we're looking for a little bit higher growth for both Q3 and Q4 than where we were back on June 30th. And usually at this stage of the earnings season, you know, we're about two-thirds of the way through at this point. Those numbers are usually coming down. So I think that's a positive sign that we're actually seeing expectations not only be maintained, but stay up. And if you look at the 2025 growth rate, that's actually jumped up to 9.9% today from 9.1%. And that's a combination of, again, the better than expected results from Q2 and the estimates for Q3 and Q4 actually being raised slightly. So I think, you know, the key question going forward is, as you mentioned, Dan, you know, the P/E ratio is already at 22. It's already above the 5-year and 10-year average. With earnings estimates going up, are we going to see the price of the index, you know, continue to go up to maintain that multiple? Will we see some multiple contraction, you know, do prices stay the same while the earnings sort of catch up to the price? And this kind of goes back, Guy, to what you had mentioned earlier when we started the podcast. When we look at the reaction to these positive and negative surprises, you know, companies that are beating estimates, they're basically seeing about an average price increase of about 1%. And that's in line with the five-year average. But the companies that are missing are really being punished. Companies that are missing estimates are seeing an average price decline of just under 6%, where usually that's in the 2.5% range. So if you're missing estimates this time, you know, you're definitely seeing, you know, the price go down pretty significantly over that short-term time frame. So, you know, again, as we talk about, we'll watch the guidance, we'll watch the expectations going forward, but it is a positive sign that analysts are increasing estimates for the next second half of the year rather than taking them down.
You know, which makes sense, John. And real quick, if we just go back to that prior slide, it all makes sense in the context of what people are now not concerned about. I mean, the recession one, to your point, is the one that really sticks out to me, because it is pretty apparent that, you know, there are basically six companies now, I can do that math, in the S&P that mentioned recession out of the 500. And it seems like there are fewer and fewer concerns out there manifesting themselves in all four of these things, which had been a concern earlier this year. And I guess, and again, this is unanswerable, but, you know, the way I look at this is, are people now, the concerns that are still out there, that have been out there, that clearly people are not worried about, does that mean they're gone? Or does that just mean they're sort of in the rearview mirror, but they're still out there in the ether somewhere? Sometimes, I guess my point, when you least expect it, things happen. The other thing, by the way, that's been on a winning streak, other than the market, are your Boston Red Sox. So in the last minute and a half, a team that is now 63-51, playing great baseball. I mean, did something happen over the last couple quarters? As you said, we're two-thirds of the way through earnings season. We're two-thirds of the way through Major League Baseball season. Please opine.
You know, I'm as surprised by it as you are. As you know, during the at the trade deadline, they didn't make any moves. There was a lot of disappointment here. And usually in the last couple of years, as we talk about trends, once that happens, that's usually when the team tanks. However, they're playing good ball right now. But as you know, it's only early August. There's a long way to go. So I can't brag too much about the team. The Yankees are still nipping at the heels, and we all know these things can move. These can move quickly in a matter of a week or two.
Well, there's this old saying in sports, addition by subtraction, and maybe that Rafael Devers move, as ill-conceived it seemed to be at the time, was the move that needed to be made up there for the Fenway faithful. John Butters, you know we love you, and I mean that sincerely. Your work is extraordinary. Thanks for inviting us on to your podcast. Dan, close us out.
Yeah, man. So if you want John's work in your email box, you know where to go. It is factset.com/insight/subscribe. We thought we'd push that out. Maybe it sounded too chilly for you to do it, John, but we appreciate your work. We get it every week. We get to preview it on the market call, and we always look forward to this quarterly podcast. So, John, thanks so much for having us.
Great. And Dan, Guy, thank you guys so much for hosting as usual. And looking forward to our next get together on market call or on our podcast.